Good morning, everybody. Oh, there's so much, kind of, I would say, subject matter, but not really knowing where to go. So, I mean, praise the Lord. Lord, guide me through this, giving me a word for these people, and for us all together. One of the things that we'll have a struggle with a battle with and all these kinds of things is just that depravity that you're talking about. But the thing is that Jesus Christ paid the price. I mean, he paid the price. Look, he's given you freedom from this old flesh. He's given you freedom from all these things. And when you take the Lord seriously and you do that which is suggested of you to do and going forward in him and doing his thing, making him Lord, man, there could be no greater joy. I mean, no greater joy. And I tell you, when you're in that place, you know, I used to call it the sweet spot all the time, was because when you would enter into that place where it was just all that mattered was what he would have you to do, and that's all that it, which it should be anyways, I mean, there's a great amount of joy that will come upon. And sometimes it is a battle. Sometimes it's a battle. It's a battle every day to put this old man down, not listen to its wants. It's what it wants to do, what it wants to control, what everything. We got to put that thing down. You know, we sang that song Day and the Night. One of the phrases that kind of was highlighted to me was, nothing else will satisfy, nothing else will do. Because that is just the case. Man, I have followed this flesh around with what it's wanting to do. And I'm talking not just out there before I knew Christ, though I'm talking about in Christ Jesus, where I've chased around what my flesh wanted to do. And you know what? It didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy. Not one bit did it satisfy. But when I lay a hold to that which the Lord has for me to do, now that, it's satisfying. Because he gives me a great joy in the midst of it. And see, when I cease from doing my own works and my own thing and ceasing from that stuff, and I enter into his rest, man, see, that's a whole new ball game there, man. That is awesome. And when you taste that, and you touch that, you have that, you never want to let it go. You never want to let it go. You never do. But I really want to, I think we'll go to Hebrews here. I want to go to Hebrews 4. Do I want to go to Hebrews 4? Yes, I do want to go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 1. And in Hebrews 4, verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, and then that hurt it. Now, to the part that he's talking about, to them that heard it, was the gospel being preached before Christ actually came yet. And this was kind of going back to the children of Israel, not being children of Israel, not entering into the promised land. Now, let's look at this closely. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That, see, even looks like to come short of it. See, and when you take the Lord seriously, and this is what I'm talking about here. This is really what getting down to that battle, getting down to that brass knuckle, and putting that old man down, and putting him first above all things. Let's fear that we don't grab a hold of the promises of God that are right there laid out before us to have. It was an interesting thing, and I don't really want anybody to raise their hand, but how many of you looked at that 1 Peter study that was suggested to you guys last week? And I ask you this, and I ask you this internally, because look how many of you just put that thing on the last thing to do. And just absolutely put it on the back burner. Or not even looked at it. Or any of these things. And I ask you this because, look, man, when you take the Lord seriously, see, you would grab the hold of that thing. When I heard that thing Wednesday night, that message Wednesday night, and I heard it, and he mentioned the 1 Peter 2 suggesting to go over it, which I've already went over it a while ago. Man, it was the next morning. I had that thing printed out. I had that thing. I was studying it. And because I did not want to miss out on the blessing and the promise that God has before me to, I'm freely to have. It's like my birthright because I have became His. I became His. But see, when you take those things which are given to you and you just put them to the back burner, you're keeping yourself from grabbing a hold onto the promise and the blessings that He has right there before you to do. I mean, to go over 1 Peter was an awesome thing. I went over it not once, but twice, because what does it say the Scripture says? What does the Scripture say? Where two, if there's any two or more witnesses out, shall anything be established? So two witnesses, went over it twice. Not only that, in the end of 1 Peter, it made me even fear even more, because it says that if anybody lacketh these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off. And I'm thinking, if he's going over these seven things, I'm thinking, well, then I better know these seven things, not just the first one or the second one very well. But all of them, because it says if you lack any of these seven things. So I was like, I need to know them. So I'm probably be going over it some more because I want to know them. Okay? I want to know them. But see, I give you this thing just as an example. As an example of how that, yet, here's the Lord is good. He wants to bless you. Here He is, has laid these things out before you. To be blessed by Him, to move forward in Him, and yet what do you do with it? Yet what do you do with it? Is it just, you just don't take it seriously? And see, this is what happens so many. This is why people don't really grab a hold and attain those promises and attain that joy. And attain that all the good thing that the Lord has for you at His table, meat for you to have, you just don't grab a hold on to. Now, if you look at the 12 disciples that Jesus had called, see, it was good enough when Jesus would go preach a parable. It was good enough for them just to hear the words that He said and say, praise God, and presume what they meant. But you notice that a lot of times it was the 12 disciples that would turn around and say, really say, what does this mean? What does this mean? See, they wanted to find out. There's the one that sticks. See, it wasn't satisfactory for them just to hear it. And to just go on about their business and, you know, oh, that was a good word. I thought it meant this. I hope it does. And I'm going to go on believing that that's what it meant and all these things. But you see, they kept themselves from really grabbing a hold of that blessing that was before them. But the 12, they would stay back and find out what the Lord had. Even when the Lord would say, do you not even understand? I mean, there would be like a correction sometimes or a chastisement from Jesus to them. Yeah, we don't. Please tell us. I mean, they would really stick that thing out. They really wanted to know. So I ask you, I mean, how much do you really take the Lord seriously? I mean, do you take those suggestions and really apply them? Do you really ask the Lord, Lord, I am Your servant. I lay it all down. Lord, I am Your servant. What is it that You would have me do? And just be persistent to just do what He would have you to do. But see, what you'll find is, see, it sounds like, oh man, that's bondage. No, it's not. It's relief. It's a praise the Lord. You get filled with joy. You get filled with excitement. And what happens is that you want to go after that thing. It's like you get addicted to it. It's like, man, Lord, what do You got next? This is awesome, Lord, what you're doing in the midst of this thing. What do you have next? You know, as I look around and I see some of the things that people have partaken in and have been blessed by them, I could see the joy that comes upon them. And guess what? They want more of it. They want more of it. And see, as a body, that's what we should be about. Now, sometimes it took some provoking for us to actually take the Lord seriously. I know for really the most of us, for us to take the Lord seriously was a big falling flat on the face. All right, a big falling flat on the face and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. I cannot do this. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me. And quite frankly, I mean, a lot of the times is that's my prayer in the morning anyways, because if I compare myself to Jesus and walking absolutely to the perfect obedience to the Father throughout the day, I don't come close. So I say, Lord, have mercy upon me, and actually be serious about doing what he would have me do that day. Now, kind of going back to where I said, some of us, it takes us falling flat on our face. I'm going to use my sister here-in-law. I think she even knew it before I even started saying it. My sister-in-law over here, Kat. I remember she would come over, and it was a great time. She would come over. She'd come over with Adric and these kinds of things, and I'd speak to her about the Word. It was an amazing thing because the Lord was pouring out. We'd kind of go over the Word. The Lord would just pour out upon her some of the things in the Scriptures and that kind of things, to where it shocked me. And I'm like, I'm surprised I recalled all that and spoke all that. Thank you, Lord. All right. And what would happen is that, did Kat walk away from that, taking the Lord seriously? No. No, not so much. I mean, she did receive those words. She was excited to hear those words. Don't hear me wrong. But she was kind of in the place where that was good enough, man. I mean, that was good enough. I mean, I got those words. Those are some cool words I see with these things. I mean, that's awesome. Praise God. So she'd go off. But it wasn't until that she became and really had to apply that gospel of Jesus Christ personally to her is when she fell. She fell. She messed up, man. She was in a bad place. A bad place. And now I can go into the details of all of it, but I'm not gonna. And a place that hit her really hard. And what I was able to bring her and that she received was the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he paid the price for all those things. He blotted out the handwritings of ordinance that was against her, nailing it to his cross. And you believe that, and was resurrected in power. And you believe that, Cap. And I remember having some conversations to her about this, because there was also accountability I had to talk to her about. It was not so-and-so's fault. It wasn't the person that called so-and-so. It wasn't all these things. No, the choices that got her in trouble was her fault. Oh, she was such a good person. I remember this one. It was like, but Phil, I'm a good mother. Really? Hold on. Why is your child staying with us then? Hold on. Let me look at this. Let's backtrack here a little bit, okay? Let me backtrack. You're a good mother, Kat. Look at the things that have gone down before you. Now the Lord is well able. The Lord is well able to have you perform as a good mother to your child. Okay, not you being good, but the position that you hold, he is well able because he's good, he's righteous, and he is well able. So you can trust in that and be able to be a good mother to your child here. But at that time and moment, those were evidences that the things that you were not a good mother. But see, before you enter in that place of his rest, you had to cease from your own. And you actually had to recognize that those were your own doing. That was your own works. Those were the dead works, okay? But what happened with Kat was the suggestions that was given to her that I would give to her, she took seriously. I mean, she was in some trouble. She was in some trouble. She wanted her son back and these kinds of things. I mean, she was. But she took these things seriously. She took those suggestions seriously and applied them. And she was not looking at me. No, she was looking at the Lord. But she took those suggestions seriously, and the Lord brought her abundantly above. She could ask her things. I'm telling you, I went and talked to the people, and they said, oh, this is not pretty. I mean, this is what they're telling me. This is not pretty. This is not pretty. I don't see this coming back together, you know, as I'm talking to the workers and that kind of thing. I don't see this, the social workers. I don't see this coming back together for a while. That's what he's telling me. I said, I ain't going to believe that. You know, I'm not going to believe that for her, you know. But what happened was that something mighty happened. And the Lord intervened in a miraculous way that all those things just went, got dropped. She got a new place that the Lord established for her, for a home for Adric and her to now go and live. I mean, it's an praise the Lord. And it was all of what the Lord was doing in the midst of it. But see, look, if she had rejected the gospel, if she had rejected him and rejected the, do you think any of those things would have worked out for her? No. And she had a great joy. And then she understand the love. She understood for herself on a personal level what the gospel was and what it meant to her. And she knew of the abundant above, abundantly above, we can ask or think of the love of Christ. She got to an understanding of that. And that was a praise the Lord. A praise the Lord. Now I share with this, folks, is because there's so many times where, look, we see the power of God move in our lives in a mighty, mighty way. In a mighty way. We see Him move. You know what? Who else also has seen Him move in a mighty, mighty way? That first generation of Israel. That the Lord delivered them out of the hand of their enemies. But did they go see the promised land? No. No, the reason why they did not go and see the promised land was because of what? Unbelief. Unbelief. And see, when you believe on Jesus Christ, as you were talking about, man, you believe His Word, you believe the entirety of His Word, and you actually take Him seriously and you do that. See, when did Abraham believe God? See, Abraham believed God when he offered up Isaac. And what was it? It was imputed to him for righteousness when he offered up Isaac. It was when the act that, look, God promised me that the seed, the promise was to my seed. It was to Isaac. It was to Isaac. And if I go and he's telling me to go sacrifice Isaac right now, that means that he would have to raise him from the dead because that is God's promise. And I'm not going to move off that promise. I'm going to believe it and I'm going to obey God all the way to the T. And then Lord God, he stopped Abraham before he sacrificed Isaac and offered the lamb. And that lamb is Jesus Christ who paid the price for all of our sins. For all of our sins. But Abraham believed to the cop, man, he believed God to the point he obeyed God. He stood on that promise of God and he was not moved. And he went forward in that. See, that's the kind of battle we need to take. See, this is how we really need to take the Lord seriously. If we want Him to move, if we want to be a part of His body, if we want to be His disciple, we want to go forward in Him, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. And the thing is, it is so exciting. It is so awesome. It is fun to walk with Jesus. It is fun to see what He's able to do. It is an awesome thing to be a partaker of. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. It was just here the other morning. I had my neighbor was sick. He had the flu. I found out from his wife. They were paying him by and coming and paying rent. And what happened was He was like, he had the flu or something. I don't know what it was that I'm reading in the scripture and these kinds of things. She came by. It was about in the morning, and I said, found out he was sick, gave a rent. So I texted him a text message, and I said, man, I heard you're not feeling well. Are you up? I heard you're not feeling well. He goes, didn't hear from him right away. Must have been sleeping, but probably about 45 minutes later, I got a ding back on the cell phone saying, yeah, I'm up, but I feel like crap. I don't feel like moving at all. I said, oh, man. I said, look, would you like for me to pray for you? He said, I appreciate it. Thank you. I text back, well, would you like for me to pray for you? Oh, yes, I would. I said, okay. I said, well, put your hand on the phone and let me know when it's done. This is all through text message, folks. He put his hand on the phone. Put his hand on the phone and he said, done. I said, all right. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that fever and I rebuke that sickness. And Lord, I just ask you to completely heal Derek. And I texted him. I said, now get up and tell me how you feel. He got up and said, man, I feel much better. Thank you. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am thinking to myself, praise God. Once again, the Lord gets glorified. Just like the Lord got glorified with Kat. Just like we've experienced all of these things. See, man, the Lord is well able. I don't care what kind of situation you've been through. I don't care what it is. I don't care what's been set before you. I don't care what kind of hole you've been put in or you put yourself in. I don't care. The Lord is well able to bring you out of all that where you can taste the love of Christ and know that He is God and He is gracious. And you can see that act, you can see that act of right there in your life if you will have it. If you will have it. See, it all comes down to a choice. It all comes down to just a choice to believe Him. Totally believe Him like Abraham did. And one of the other prayers that I said in the midst of it, and I didn't say this on the text things, is I said, Lord, please heal Derek in the sense of not according to my faith, not according to his faith, but according to your faith, Lord. See, because my faith wavers. I know Derek's faith wavers. But Jesus' faith does not. Amen. And see, that's what we count on. That's what we believe. That's what we trust in. But I'm going to move a little forward. How much time do we have? Ten minutes? Okay. So 10 minutes. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Look, it didn't profit them. They wouldn't believe it. It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Man, they would not believe it. They wouldn't have it. Here the Lord said unto the children of Israel that went to go get the promised land that was said, they said, look, this is the land I'm going to give you. This is what the Lord told them. And when they went and sent the spies over, they looked at them and saw that there were giants. They saw that they're too big for us. Man, they're going to crush us. They're going to kill us. Well, you know, they were delivered by the hand of their enemies by whom? The Lord God Almighty. That's how they were delivered out of the hands of Egypt. And He showed them His power. But they would not believe Him for the promised land. There was only two spies that came back and said, man, it's exactly what the Lord promised. The land flowing with milk and honey. Man, they got grapes. They got all these goods. Man, this is awesome. Let's go take it. And they about stoned one of the messengers for it. Or both of them. I had to have to look again at it. About stoned them for it. But see, look, man, if we can understand that the promises of God are just that, it doesn't matter what's before you. It doesn't matter how big and ugly and nasty and how disgusting your flesh is. He's bigger than that. He paid the price for it. It doesn't matter how big and ugly the situation that is laid before you is. He's bigger than all that. He is bigger than all that. And if we would just cease from our own dead works and actually take Him serious, if we would just cease from, then we can enter into His rest. See, when we enter into His rest, see, we now operate not in the ability of ourselves or what we can be able to do or what we're going to be able to accomplish. Because you know what? I can't save myself and neither can any one of you. It's only Jesus Christ that can save you. It's only Jesus Christ that can save you. And it's only Jesus Christ by the which I stand here today and what the Lord has blessed me abundantly above I can ask or think. So you enter in from what you're able to do into what He's able to do, and He is faithful. He is faithful. And entering into His rest is entering into His anointing. Is entering into His anointing. And you cease from those dead works. But see, look, how are you going to cease to those dead works if here the Lord has given you time and time and over again suggestions to go after Him. Suggestions that will be blessings to you. Suggestions that will just go, you would be able to take, go forward and to walk in and to learn to walk in that anointing. If you put those things on the back burner and you pick up your old dead works and say, well, I'm going to do it this way. See, how is that going to work for you? See, you're never going to enter in that rest. You're never going to enter in that anointing. Here He is. He's laid it out for you to have. He has. He really has. I mean, here it is. Boom. See, it was by His works that was able to establish Kat in a new home, bringing her family back together. It was by His ability. So, man, what a relief, because I quite frankly tell you, my old dead works never satisfied. My old dead works did nothing for me, but it was just junk. It was garbage. My old dead works has been, in the corner of mine, they look fun, man. They look awesome, but they were not. It was an absolute destruction to me. Absolute destruction. And then I look at those giants, just like I've been in the place with the children of Israel, and here's the promises of God right before me, and here's the challenges before me, and I look at them as giants and going, oh no, that is way too big. I'm going to get crushed and pulverized. Well, yeah, within your own self, I'm going to get crushed and pulverized, but not in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing to me when these things were brought before me to do, man, I wanted to flee. I wanted to run. I wanted to go, I'm not going over there. But it's amazing that when I said, all right, Lord, if this is what You would have me to embrace, You are a righteous God. You are a righteous God. Then it is something that I can do, not within myself, but You are well able to accomplish that which is before me. You're well able. And I am not going to believe anything else. Just like, sound familiar, Abraham? God would have to raise up Isaac from the dead. Look, if the Lord has put me in this place to go and do for it, and this, and I'm putting yourself to put yourself in any of this situation, if the Lord's put me in place to go and to perform that which He has me to do, and this is the task He's put in front of me to do, then you know what? He has given me the ability. And I might not understand how this thing's going to work out or walk out or any of those things, and how these suggestions might not make a dang sense to my carnal mind. It might not make, but when I take it and I embrace that which the Lord has me to do, it is amazing what He does. And it's amazing the understanding that starts to come to me when I go do it. It's amazing of the wisdom and His love and all those things just start come pouring in, and the joy that just starts coming pouring in on that situation. And it's a place where it just isn't about me, where it blesses me. No, it blesses everybody else. And it's a sign for everybody else to also partake of His anointing, His rest, His goodness, His awesomeness, whatever you may call it. He's just awesome, man. He is awesome. But the biggest thing that holds you back from entering into that and having that and going forward and receiving those things, the biggest thing is yourself. I mean, Satan gets a freaking bad rap, man. We like to blame Satan for everything, but man, it comes to a place where it's like, Lord, what did I start with? Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And you start embracing that which the Lord has put in front of you to do. You start embracing that with a vengeance. You're not going to believe. You're not going to accept any lie from the enemy, from this old carnal man. You're not going to accept any of those things. Any of that old attitudes that will jump up. You're not going to accept any of those things, man. No, you put those things down like a soldier you are in Christ Jesus. And you put them down with a vehement and grab a hold of that promise. You grab a hold of that promise. You don't let it go. You don't let it go. And it's simply by just start taking the Lord seriously in the things that are set before you. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it might be situations that were like Kat, where you accept the Lord. I remember when Kat accepted the Lord. She was getting attacked from every which side, up, down, sideways, left, right. She was getting attacked in every direction. I remember these things that were going down. I remember finding out not just from her, but from others, because, you know, me and how well I pay attention. I'm an idiot sometimes. But it was amazing what the Lord did. Did the Lord not keep you from all those things? He kept you from all those things, Cap. He kept you from every vice of the enemy after you accepted the Lord there. Every vice. So it might be giants all around you on those things, but don't believe that. You hang on to God's promise. You take Him seriously. You be about His business. You don't worry about the rest. Don't worry about the rest. And watch what the Lord will do. He's an awesome God. Let's sing Awesome God, because He's an awesome God. Isn't He? So let's grab a hold on that promise. Let's put down that unbelief. Let's put down our own dead works. Let's enter into His rest. Let's partake of His anointing and what He has called us to do. Amen.